smashed!
So, good afternoon, everybody. You are listening to FSK Radio 93.0. Ich bin ein Hamburger. Today, I will be the special guest host, Sniffly Susan, joined by our head honcho and technical producer, Clappy McShul.
Hello.
And special guest all the way from Vancouver, Canada, Mel.
Hello.
Thank you so much for coming all the way out here to join us.
Yes, I got on a plane just for this.
Yes, no. But yeah, so we very happy to have you here to lend your opinion on this week's topics. But yeah. Okay, so sometimes, you know, what we do every week or every month that we have this is that we name what kind of burger we most identify with right now. And as I already introduced myself as Sniffly Susan, who has like a really bad case of autumn allergies, which I guess are a thing, I would be like a burger with like way, way too much remoulade on it. It's just like really, yeah, it's like getting all over your shirt and stuff. That's like the state I'm in right now. So yeah, no. Goopy burger. It's really disgusting. Okay. Mel, do you want to go next?
Yeah, so I would describe not really my emotions, but just this awesome burger I ate yesterday. That was exactly what I needed. Crispy chicken with jalapenos and guacamole, and I think it had Caesar dressing on it also. And it was on a brioche bun, and it had, like, melted, how's it called? Schmalzkäse. And, like, some nice crisp lettuce, and I think it had a tomato slice on it as well. And it was exactly what I needed to eat at that time. And I've still, today, a day later, been thinking about it all day. I'm very excited to order that
one
again.
Delicious. Where is it from? We're not...
Yeah. I was from Burger Me, just a hangover order delivery.
Oh, yep. My God. Speaking of which, I don't want to, like, you know, take away from your airtime, Clappy, but... He is one of those people who doesn't get the whole gourmet burger trend of, like, having, like, fun, nice toppings on, like, a nice, fancy bun and, like, a like, super really good meat. He's just, like, totally happy with, like, a very simple burger from, like, Kleine Pause. Whereas I, on the other hand, I'm like, yes, give me the fried egg on the burger and the avocado and the aioli.
I think both can be very good, depending on what you need in that moment.
Yeah.
If it's a good greasy spoon burger, and now I've had bad greasy spoon burgers, which are just a waste of time.
Yeah.
But if you have a good greasy burger, yeah, like from Burgermeister in Berlin, for example, that's a pretty simple burger, but it's awesome.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. But anyways.
I just like the classic. And I don't know. I feel like a burger I can make it at home, getting these... Like fancy ingredient, like yours sounds very nice, but it's relative. It's not, I think it's not super difficult to make a good burger at home. So these burgers that cost like 15 euro, I'm like,
okay,
man,
yeah, 15
I could make
is
like,
pushing it.
I could make a whole bunch of, I don't know.
15 is pushing it. Like you'd have to prove to me that that cow was like given daily massages and stuff like this. And it's like, you know, made with the finest. Yeah.
But the burger you just said sounds delicious in the way.
I think I'm usually like hungover when I eat a burger most of the time. So, even if it's, like, yeah, something that I could theoretically make for myself, the hangover
the
state. Yeah, the effort
the
is just not
going
to happen in that moment.
Okay.
I can't do
breaded
chicken.
Food of convenience.
Mm. Breaded chicken is, like, one of those things that's really difficult to get just right because, like, you know, you want to, like, fry it in a way that it's not, like, super greasy and disgusting but not, like, dry in the middle still. I don't know. I've never really been able to get that down, but some restaurants... Yeah, they really got it on point. But anyway, sorry. Mm. What kind of burger are you, Clappy?
So everything's like now COVID, the restrictions are going down. Just a lot of stuff happening all the time. So I'm like jam-packed. One of these.
Leftover burger.
Too many toppings?
Yeah, you know when you like get this like the Mac, when you feel super hungry and you go to a burger place and you're like, oh, I'll just get the you know,
deluxe thing.
Deluxe got everything burger, and then it's kind of a struggle to get it in your mouth because you're like really squishing it and bits fall all over your plate. Mm-hmm. So you end up kind of eating it with a knife and fork.
I think what you're describing actually is a burrito.
Yeah. Well, similar.
Like when you go to like one of these boutique burrito places or like just any burrito place and you're just like, I want the peppers and the cheese.
Yeah, you just overload and like triple patty or whatever, and then it's just like, I can't get it in my mouth.
Yeah, I mean, things have been opening up, it's like, I really, when I had like weekends where I was just like, I got nothing to do this weekend, I guess I'll just have like a really fun evening in. Now I'm like, you know, if I want to just, yeah, party at home and stuff, I feel like I could do it, but then I'd be missing out on, say, you know, somebody's big birthday party, or like, you know, we went to Nachtdazzle this weekend, and things like this. And then next weekend is Halloween. And then, the weekend after that, there's probably going to be something else. So I don't know. I kind of got used to that in quarantine, and I was complaining about it for so long, you know, being stuck at home, but now that it's gone, I kind of miss it in some ways. That it's gone.
The return of FOMO was something I was dreading as the restrictions lifted. I was very happy the restrictions were lifting, but I knew that my lack of FOMO was one of the most silver linings of the lockdowns that I experienced. But of course, it was too much of a good thing at some point. I really stopped socializing, and getting back into going out and doing things has really been a bit of a hurdle for me.
Mm. Yeah.
Did you feel strange being at Nachtdazzle, or...
I did.
Or dirty with all the people around.
Yeah,
or...
I was pretty uncomfortable. I actually considered leaving at first, but I knew I just needed to, as bad as it sounds, drink another beer and power through and see how I felt a few tracks later. And it was fine in the end, especially when people started to leave a little bit. But I felt uncomfortable, and it was also just weird. I was like, I used to do these things every weekend. And now I really want to lay on my couch and pet my cat.
Yeah.
But yeah. I had a good time.
No, yeah, me too. I was happy to... I mean, I know that, like, before the lockdown, in March of 2020, I had been going out basically every weekend, and it was, like, really, you know, expensive, and it was, like, taking its toll on my health, and I was like, oh, God. I was actually, like, some part of me was excited that, you know, that option wasn't there anymore. But now that it might be back, I don't think I'll ever get to that point again. And I don't want to get to that point again where it's just like the big social event of the week is just all of us going to a club or something like this. You know, I don't want my friendships to just be based off of that, which I feel like a lot of them were. But also, speaking of really crowded clubs, I'm sure many of our listeners have heard that I think 2 weeks after it opened, the famous Berlin Techno Club Berghain had a COVID outbreak where 19 people at least were eventually contracted the disease, and 2,500 people were contacted. And like, there obviously were not 2,500 people at Nachtdazzle last night, but it did seem like, man, if one person was sick and like there was some sort of breakthrough infection, this could, you know, I feel like a few people could have gotten sick. But again, they were good about checking, you know, people's vaccination cards and things like this. So it's probably unlikely, but you never know.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, people have these fake vaccination cards, or I don't know, with the
QR code.
The app, the QR code. I mean, you just need to like have a screenshot of one of these, and unless they use the thing to actually scan and prove it, but sometimes they just look at it.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not advocating any illegal activity. I'm just saying that.
I mean,
but if you tried, you could probably get away with it.
Yeah, at Nachtdazzle, they did.
They did
every
scan,
step, and they even asked for my ID card.
Yeah, so. Me too.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
They really.
They did it. They did it.
Yeah, I know. Nachtdazzle did a good job, but yeah, I don't know.
Well done.
Quality, yeah.
Stamp of
approval.
I know that in the U.S. there's like a big thing about, you know, because I don't even think there's like a database of people who've been vaccinated. You just have that card, and that's the only proof that you have. So, you know, there were like doctors that are facing like years in prison for selling fake COVID passes and stuff, vaccination passes. And if you get caught with it, it's like a really big deal. Like they're just going to throw the book at you and make an example of you. Yeah. But just to go through some quick COVID numbers, as of today, which is the 24th of October, there were 280 cases, new cases yesterday, and the 7-day incidence is now at 106.3. So, you know,
it's like
been
a little
steadying
spike
up.
thing.
Yeah, it's been going up lately, but I think there have only been 5 deaths in the last day. So, you know, I wonder how many of those are breakthrough infections, which they've been reporting more of, and how many of those are just people who are unvaccinated. Because when you hear about things like Colin Powell,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say rest in peace because I feel like he was, you know, led to a lot of horrible things, but maybe I should say rest in peace. I just don't like him as a person. Like, he was fully vaccinated and he died from it.
But he had cancer, that's why.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. I actually read an article about breakthrough infections earlier today, mm-hmm. and it was explaining the nuances of why that's a thing. And it's basically people who have these, yeah, comorbidities.
Yeah. No. I remember reading that as well. But you know, you just read the headline of like Colin Powell fully vaccinated dies of COVID, and it's just like, oh my god, like, yeah, you feel, yeah, I don't know. It's not 100% ever, but I can see like if you had a weaker immune system because of, yeah, cancer. You know, that's not something that affects everybody, but it's just.
But what's the vaccination level kind of up to?
In Germany?
Yeah.
I read that in Hamburg it was like 75%.
Okay.
I think so. God. I probably should
so
know this.
So, according to the Corona Warn app, as of the 22nd of October, 66% of people, 66.2% of the German population is fully vaccinated. But that is not taking into account sometimes maybe there's just records that didn't get properly filed or published within the country itself. And furthermore, there are foreigners who are living here who got vaccinated in their home countries who, of course, are not part of these statistics. So it's thought that these numbers are actually higher than what is definitely known nationally.
Okay. Interesting. I thought it was going to be much higher, but...
For example, people from the U.S. who were able to get vaccinated faster when they went to visit the U.S., or I have a colleague who's from Romania, and same thing. She got vaccinated earlier in Romania, so she went and got it done there. Mm-hmm. So I know at least a handful of people who did that who wouldn't be included in these statistics. So
yeah. I mean, that is one thing that we were discussing, because like, I am one of these people who went to the U.S. and got like my vaccination card. Like, I got my Johnson & Johnson shot there back in like June. And I... You know, it's kind of annoying because now when I'm fully vaccinated, but when I present that little card, people just kind of look at it like, what is this? And like, they'll have to be like, let me check with my boss. And then I look at them, go back behind like the bar or something, and they're like discussing it with their colleague. Like, what is this? Have you ever seen anything like this? And I don't know. I imagine that from people who are, you know, maybe from like a non-Western country, it's probably even more difficult for their like vaccination card to be accepted. I highly doubt there's ever going to be some sort of universal or global like system for like an impasse or something like this.
Yeah.
If they can get that.
Yeah, I think that would
together.
Be criticized for a variety of reasons.
Mm.
Yeah.
Too much to come into existence.
Yeah. It would require like a global ID kind of system, which I don't think is going to happen.
I think a lot of people are very uncomfortable with
freak
that.
Out.
What is this?
It's
like...
what Bill Gates wants.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's
what is
his
it
whole
like New World program. Order?
Yeah, mm. It's like gonna be tied to all these conspiracy theories and things like this. So
yes.
So today's main topic is the question of poverty in Hamburg and in Germany in general. We're just gonna discuss it and, you know, give some facts about it. So yeah, this is Fast Car by Tracy Chapman.
Get a fast car. I want a ticket to anywhere. Maybe we make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere. Any place is better. Starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove. You get a fast car. I got a plan to get us out of here. Been working at the convenience store. Managed to save just a little bit of money. Won't have to drive too far. Just cross the border and into the city. You and I can both get jobs and finally see what it means to be living. See, my old man's got a problem. Yeah, but the bottle, that's the way it is. He says his body's too old for working. His body's too young to look like his. My mama went off and left him. She wanted more from life than he could give. I said, somebody's got to take care of him. So I quit school and that's what I did. You got a fast car. Is it fast enough so we can fly away? We gotta make a decision. Leave tonight or live and die this way. So I remember when we were driving, driving in your car. Speed so fast, I felt like I was drunk. City lights day out before us, and your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. Someone. You got a fast car. We go cruise and entertain ourselves. Still ain't got a job. Now work in the market as a checkout girl. I know things will get better. You'll find work and I'll get promoted. We'll move out of the shelter. Buy a bigger house and live in the suburbs. I remember when we were driving, driving in your car. Speed so fast, it felt like I was drunk. City lights lay out before us, and your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone, be someone, be someone. You got a fast car. I got a job that pays all our bills. You sell drinking late at the bar. Some more your friends than you do your kids. I'd always hope for better. Thought maybe together you and me find it. I got no plans, I ain't going nowhere. So take your fast car and keep on driving. So I remember when we were driving, driving in your car. So fast, I felt like I was drunk. City lights lay out before us, and your arm felt nice wrapped around my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone.
Hello, you are listening to 93.0. Ich bin ein Hamburger, and we're back with the main topic of today's show, which is poverty in Germany and more specifically in Hamburg, but I guess these topics affect, or they could be related to the entire country. So just a few facts about poverty in Germany or in Hamburg specifically. I guess we were surprised to learn when we were doing the research for this show that something like 11% of residents in Hamburg are recipients of Hartz IV, which is like a monthly, what would you call it? Unemployment benefit. That it's like they pick up your rent and you get like 400 euros in spending money.
Yeah, it's like rent, health insurance, like TV, like that media payment.
Yeah.
And yeah, all like electricity, plus you get like, I think it's around 430.
Okay.
And like spending money, like for food and stuff.
But that's like one of the metrics that they use for determining the poverty level in a city. But that obviously doesn't account for people who are like homeless.
Homeless, who are not recorded in the system.
I mean, we were discussing this and like, you know, none of us really are experts on the topic. But from what we've heard, just, you know, in conversation and like reading things like this, it's like a lot of the people who might be homeless are, it's due to like some sort of drug dependency or being undocumented and things like this. Like, you know, they'll help you. That you can always get help, but some people don't want help, or they, you know, that it's the condition is if you want to receive these benefits, you have to prove that you are not, you know, taking, you know, these drugs anymore. But that's like too difficult for some people, and they'd rather just live on the street and have that than, you know, give that up.
You have to, yeah, you have to click in the system, so to speak. Yeah. And there's a lot of bureaucracy and.
There's always going to be someone who falls through the cracks.
In an
overly simplified manner, I've had German friends, when I first immigrated to Germany, explain to me that nobody in Germany needs to be homeless, and there's always support for folks who are struggling with poverty and potential homelessness, that they can get help from the state. But of course, in any city, and I guess any town as well, probably in Germany, you do see homeless people. So of course there are people who fall through the cracks for one reason or another.
Yeah, because to get it, you have to go to the job center or whatever, and you have to do these regular interviews, and you're meant to prove that you're
making an effort to get a
job or do training or whatever. And if you don't do these meetings, or if you're not like kind of properly legally here, like you have to be registered here living and these kind of things, and so people don't want people to know where the state to know where they're living, because they owe money from previous, they maybe owe debts, and they don't want to click back into these old debts. And so it's just you have to be within the system to get the money, and that's the issue if there's a reason you don't want to be in the system. But they did change it, like I think it's like 2016 or something, I think, or 17. There was this big court case, because the thing is, you get kind of penalized if you don't do paperwork or you don't do proper jobs. Sometimes they lower it from 400 something to like 300 to like penalize you for not doing the proper, jumping through the proper hoops. And then before, you could also, I think, get cut off. And then this court case, they were like, no, it's part of the German Grundgesetz, like the basic law of Germany,
like the Bill of Rights,
you know, they set up after World War II, that your dignity is, you can't, the state cannot make you a undignified human kind of thing by cutting you off from these basic payments. So after that, it's really hard now to get kind of kicked off it. But the other issue that people I know that have had is it's all going through the banking system as well. So sometimes banks, like there's no right to have a bank account. Right, yeah. This is not like a human right or whatever. So sometimes banks, like if you do owe them money or you do funny stuff, they like close your bank account and kick you out of the banking system. And so then you can't get the Hartz IV money because you don't have a bank
account. There has to be some other way, though. You can't get like cash payments, because I don't.
No. They don't deal with it. They don't want all these job centers holding all these like thousands of dollars
cash. But for some,
like,
yeah, I don't know.
It's a risk, you know.
It's like kind of inconsistent with how much they love cash here.
Yeah.
But anyways. Yeah.
Especially if you don't want to deal with the technology part of it as well, because some of it, it's like they're gradually nudging people to use more of the tech for reporting. And yeah, like I know in Sweden as well, there's like you're meant to get an app to report your weekly activities on finding a job and all this stuff. And if you don't report with the app, you don't get your money. And so there's this digital divide thing as well, because it's like it takes money to have a phone and to maintain, like pay for mobile data and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, further disenfranchising marginalized communities.
Yeah. There's this kind of disenfranchising. Yeah.
Also, I mean, you know, there's some people who, like I had an ex-roommate of mine who during the pandemic, he couldn't work because he had like a job where you had to come into contact with people. And he was like, I could get Hartz IV, but then that would mean like the government has all like my information and I gotta like, you know, jump through their hoops. And because out of like pride, he wouldn't do it and like just found some other way, like borrowed money or like did some like, you know, odd jobs and things like this. But yeah, that's like another thing. It's just some people who are very suspicious of the government will not want to get into that database.
Yeah.
And I kind of get that, but you know, some people are, desperate enough to just, you know, whatever, I'll tell you whatever, but I hope that I never get to that point.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I've been on social assistance as well in the US, but it was nowhere near as comprehensive as this. And like, there is a lot of stigma associated with it, which, I mean, we were just reading this article that like, a lot of like leftists think that it's like, kind of degrading and humiliating for people in poverty to have to like, you know, go through all this trouble and like prove to them that they're like, you know, again, jumping through those hoops. Whereas in the US, it's just like, okay, well, this is just like a temporary thing, right? You know, not really dignified, I guess. Which the thing about dignity, and you said, or this right to dignity, is like the US helped Germany write their constitution, but that's not in the US constitution. So it's like actually better than I think what we currently have, or like guarantees more rights. But since it's so old, they just kind of was like, if we had to start over from scratch and like try to make sure that no fascism ever, you know, takes root again in this country, let's just put this right to dignity in there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And there are homeless shelters as well. Like in São Paulo, especially, they have, like, you can, they ask no questions. Like, you can go there and have lunch every day and like breakfast every day. It's just these kind of food halls, and they have showers and stuff, and they'll like give you clothes. And so there is this charity level as well.
Yeah,
like, I think some of them are kind of church based, but some of them are just kind of, yeah, like secular NGOs that just, so.
I mean, I have seen like Red Cross vans. Like, if you go on like weekdays to like the area around Mönckeberga Straße, there's like a big truck that's like giving out hot meals and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah. And I think that in like, I don't know, I feel like in Rota Flora and stuff, a lot of the times they have like, it's not really meant for homeless people, but it's like you can just pay whatever you want.
Yeah, they have the Kufa, like community kitchens.
Yeah.
There and like Hafenstrasse, like near the water, which is this squatted kind of buildings. They have the community kitchens there. And yeah, I think it's, in terms of cities, if I like was forced to be homeless, yeah, it's just the cold in Hamburg that would be so tough, I think.
Yeah, I was.
You need like all the sleeping bags. And, yeah,
I was just reading about this actually. Apparently because the weather, or the temperature is dropping so quickly, like it's usually not this cold at night this
early in
autumn. And from what I've read, the city of Hamburg is spending 13 million euros to put homeless people in hotel rooms. So they have 1,030 hotel rooms.
Wow.
Because there's like every year there are like homeless people who freeze to death, and like, you know, they're trying to prevent that. So, I mean, that's cool that they're investing in that. They're all in like Billbrook and things like this, like in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
But yeah. And they were saying like they have specific rooms for people who are severely mentally ill, so that they don't have to like bunk with anybody else, but like they're gonna put them probably like two in a room or something like this.
Okay.
Which is pretty awesome, because like I've heard stories in the US of like homeless people who like commit petty crimes in like cities like Chicago that get like extremely cold, and you'll like freeze to death outside by like, you know, just throwing a brick through a store window and waiting for the cops to get there.
Oh, just so they have somewhere warm to go for the night. That's so sad.
Or if they get put in prison for like destroying property or something, like just, they're not trying to like be put away for a year, but just like, if I just like, you know, fuck up this store's window or something, it'll put me away for 3 months and I'll get like a hot meal every day and stuff like this, or hot meals every day. It's pretty depressing, but yeah, at least here they're like trying to address the problem before it gets that bad. But
that's interesting. So the police will just, I guess they just go around, and then if they see homeless, like, hey, we've got a room that's available or whatever, or they just pick them up, or I don't know.
I really don't know how it works, because anyways, do you know, I mean, like compared to like conditions in Australia, would you say that it's like much better at dealing with poverty than in Germany, or much worse?
I think, yeah, I mean, the weather's, it's pretty, like, especially, like, Sydney is, like, never really cold, so I don't think they have this same level of responsibility, because they're, like, yeah, people won't die in the winter, so that I don't think they definitely don't do that kind of getting people hotels or something like that. But it's, yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, you still have some kind of shelters, but they're also not as good with, you can't live on, it's hard to live on, you can live on welfare forever, but it's such a tiny, tiny amount of money. Like, you're not, I don't think it's, they give you a standard amount. It's not, you don't get your rent paid and stuff like that. It's still much more generous here. Like, you're really living on nothing if you get like consistent welfare money. And you still have to do the whole go to the office regularly and have them helping you, seeing what's happening, and they will cut you off if you don't do what they tell you.
Yeah.
So it's not as generous. They had this other idea, they had this other thing. I mean, it was mainly for the Indigenous community. Like, they had this thing called a basics card for a while, and it was like a debit card, but it would only let you buy certain things. So you couldn't buy like
food stamps or EBT.
Yeah. But you could buy like, it's not only food, you could buy other stuff like clothing and stuff, but it had something where as soon as you bought alcohol or cigarettes, it wouldn't work. Yeah. So I would prefer, if I was homeless, I'd prefer to be, I think, in Hamburg in Australia. But the weather is a big factor. It is probably easier to live.
Yeah, that is
safety. I don't know which would be a safer.
You got snakes there, though.
In Canada, it's kind of interesting. There's a big homeless problem in Canada, partially because of the fact that our healthcare system doesn't provide adequate mental health services. And mental health institutions largely got shut down some decades ago, and those people weren't provided with an alternative place to be. They were just turned loose.
Yeah.
And of course, now as well, if someone should potentially be institutionalized, there's not really institutions for those people, or not enough space in the ones that might exist. So in any case, between drug addiction and mental health issues, there's a large homeless problem in Canada, and as with many countries, of course. But it's interesting, where I'm from, in the west coast of Canada, although of course the winters are very similar to the Hamburg winters, it's like wet and cold and not safe to be sleeping on the streets and in the colder months, but nevertheless, relative to other parts of the country, it is more agreeable. And we do have emergency cold shelters in winter that like aren't regularly open, but they pop up in certain cold snaps. But in any case, you see people migrating to the West Coast because the weather is more moderate than other parts of the country, especially in winter. And so we have a falsely inflated homeless population, in the sense that we have this mobile homeless population from across the country, some of whom migrate out west because the conditions are a bit more agreeable. There's more factors to it than that, but this is just my basic understanding without really studying it properly. I think also in Vancouver, for example, there's a big open-air drugs market. So there's, if you're an addict, there's really just easier availability. And that's another migration factor, actually.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Open-air drugs market? Can we, like, illegal drugs?
Illegal.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, it's a phrase that gets used for it, though, because it's basically like outdoors in a specific part of the city in Vancouver it's outside. So it's not necessarily people going to residences or places to score. It's more so like a lot of dealers on the street and stuff in certain parts of the city.
Okay.
So that's why it's referred to as open air, because it's outside.
Never heard of that term before. But anyway, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, but anyway, it's quite interesting. But it's in the last couple of years, especially in the community that I come from originally, it's really increased. And it's really been kind of this us and them societal issue, where there's like, you know, property damage happening and the things that come along with homelessness and addiction. But there's also been a huge push from some members of society to allow for supervised injection sites, so that people can have access to harm reduction services for their drug use, especially with the fentanyl crisis. And yeah, kind of the dynamics that have evolved with the addicted homeless community in the past. Well, not just homeless. I mean, harm reduction since the fentanyl crisis has been really important, basically, for any addict, whether or not they're housed. Anyway, I'm getting a little bit off topic because
this is very
it's not explicitly poverty, but it's linked to it.
It's it's definitely, relevant topic to like people who are homeless. A lot of them, unfortunately, also have like issues with substance abuse. I mean, just not always, but yeah.
In my hometown, actually, because of the prevalence of tent cities or, tent communities popping up in a lot of areas in my hometown, they actually opened up some low-barrier housing on a lot which was vacant, mm-hmm. and so the city spent a reasonable amount of money, but it wasn't exorbitant, on creating, small sort of, like, basically shed bedroom little houses mm-hmm. for some of the unhoused members of the community. And there's, like, security guards, and I think also... people who are helping if someone's having an overdose, for example. So it's also low barrier housing, mm-hmm. meaning that people can use alcohol and drugs there, which, I mean, that's another issue with being in poverty and getting housing is, like, there's conditions that you can't be using drugs and alcohol if you want certain types of public housing, which is...
It pushes people away if they're having a problem.
Of course.
Like, I'd rather be homeless or, like, living, mm-hmm. in a tent or something rather than...
Yeah, so it's not very good for pushing those marginalized addicts out of having opportunities to have housing, which ultimately can eventually lead to them being able to and ready to seek treatment for their addictions. So, yeah, it's a very complicated issue. But interestingly, I think for whatever reason, which I haven't spent enough time reading and learning about to understand, it's really gotten a lot more extreme in the past few years. In the part of the world that I come from, and it's quite concerning. And
same with I think this is a trend that is affecting the whole west coast of North America, basically, because Portland, my dad used to live in like downtown Portland, and like every single year we went back, like there was this beautiful park with like fountains and statues and things that was like right next to the Portland Art Museum and like this other like Portland Historical Center or Oregon Historical Center, and it just, like, we could see, like, a time lapse of every Christmas and every summer we went back there, more and more people just, like, camping out in that park to the point where it was just, like, you don't go walking through that park at night unless you want to see some fucked up shit.
Mm.
And it was, like, really depressing. But he said, like, because he went back not that long ago, like, some of the people you see, they look like they were working in, like, a warehouse, like, last month. Like, you know, they don't look like they've been living on the street or that they have some sort of, you know, any issues with substance abuse or anything like that. It just looks like they, missed a paycheck and had no safety net, like, no family they could stay with, and then they just had this option. But it's just so difficult, especially in the U.S., to get back on your feet, because there are programs available, but like getting into them is really hard, and there's often a very long wait time, and dressing up for a job interview and printing out resumes and mm-hmm. stuff like this and having access to a computer is like 10 times harder when you're homeless than if you aren't, even if you're just freshly homeless.
Okay, so we're just gonna take a quick break. Here is Bus Money by The Chats. Yes. Enjoy.
I'd have more money if I Have you got a spare buck? This prick of a driver won't let me on the bus. It's getting late and I want to go home. I lost my wallet and I smashed my phone. I feel bad asking, I really do. But all I need is a buck or two. 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 All I need is a buck or two.
Are back. So, yes, we wanted to, I guess, branch off from our main topic for today's show, which is poverty in Germany, and also like kind of comparing it to poverty in our home countries, our respective home countries. But another important topic that's kind of related to that is food waste in Germany, which is apparently a huge problem and, you know, definitely. Yeah, one of those things that, like, you hear about how much food goes into the trash, and I think in Germany it's one of those places that's illegal for you to dumpster dive outside of, like, a Lidl and, like, get the, you know, one day expired oranges out of the trash or something like this, so that's just one more thing that, yeah, that could be changed to help maybe some people who are struggling to feed themselves every week. But Mel, you seem like you know the most about that. I just know the very basics.
Oh, I recently read an article which was basically discussing the fact that food is, especially when you're shopping at a discounter supermarket in Germany, food prices are generally extremely affordable, especially for, you know, the volumes you get, or even the fact that you can get fresh fruits and vegetables for very affordable prices at discounter markets especially, which is great that people have access to fresh and healthy foods, because conversely in North America, oftentimes impoverished people are forced to eat highly processed and unhealthy foods because that's the only stuff that they can afford. Yeah. And so on the one side, I'm very happy to see that healthy fresh food is in fact often very affordable here. But what this article I recently read was talking about was the fact that sometimes it's too much of a good thing that it's so affordable, because people might then be more inclined to buy more than what they actually need, because it's like, oh yeah, like I'll just grab this and this and this and this, when in fact if they had to make more of a financial choice about this or that, they wouldn't end up wasting as much food in the end, because oftentimes your eyes are bigger than your stomach when you go to the grocery store. And another thing is that if you've spent, you know, $8 on your stupid bell pepper, then you're going to eat that damn bell pepper because mm-hmm. that was really expensive. Whereas if you didn't pay much for it, it's
easy to forget about.
It's less emotionally bothersome if mm-hmm. you barely paid for it, if that's kind of your motivation. And so, yeah, that was an interesting thing I hadn't really thought about, but it's...
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm definitely guilty of this as well. I mean, if I were, like, really hurting for food, maybe I wouldn't be as willing to waste things, but I also just, you know, the fact that... So you're saying that it's, like, personal food waste and not so much, like, that one of these discounters is, like, dumping a lot of food in the trash because they're buying it in such huge quantities.
So the specific angle of this article was just talking about individual over-purchasing because it's so affordable, and then ending up wasting it because you don't use it in time and don't plan so carefully with your meal prep and using of those things before they go bad.
Yeah.
But, of course... institutional food waste is also a huge issue in most places.
Yeah.
Most countries.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's, like... Because I know in the U.S. it was, like, a huge... I don't know if you'd call it a scandal, but it was a controversy where, you know, they would lock the dumpsters
of like the local grocery store so that people couldn't go in there and like get perfectly good food that it's just like, you know, it's gonna expire in a day, so it's, you know, it's not really good to be on the shelf because people aren't gonna buy it. But they would just throw it out or like intentionally destroy it, like pour bleach on it so that nobody could eat it, because it's just like, oh well, we don't want people to like not buy it if they could just get it out of the trash. Or like, you know, you hear about like luxury clothing brands intentionally like cutting up unsold bags and things like this because they don't want to put those bags, like either donate them or put them into like a discount store, because that would affect their brand image and things like this. If like you saw a Coach bag at like, you know, like
even
a TJ
when
Maxx
it's on
or
sale, it devalues the product.
Yeah. And like, that's just, you know, that's just so infuriating for me, but you know, I'm all for people who go through the trash for sure.
I mean, it's funny. Yeah. This is how I feel now about food. Cause I started using that Too Good To Go app. I don't know if you've ever tried this. Before.
No, but one time I ran into you and you gave me a sandwich you had picked up from that.
Yes. So, because if you don't know, it's like this Dutch app where it's, you download it and then all the cafes, when they're throwing out food, like it's the end of the day for the cafe or the restaurant, even it's like classy restaurants and stuff. And even like hotels, when they have their morning deluxe breakfasts, the alert goes on to the Too Good To Go app that there's food available, like they're about to throw out, and then you reserve it, and then you go there, and then you, like, so I got obsessed with this for a little while because I was like, oh, this is such a good idea to, like, preserve food, and also it's so cheap, like, it costs, like, you know, €3 for, like, a whole bunch of things from a cafe. Mm-hmm. And so I also did a tour of the different, you know, luxury hotel buffet breakfasts. So you just go there at, like, midday, when they're closing it. And yeah, they just give you they give you this cardboard box and you go around and I just get all the luxury bacon and all the thing. And it was
salmon.
Yeah. All the salmon, like it felt very luxurious. But I found that like after I started doing this after a while, this especially cafe food, because a lot of like, you know, Balzac coffee and, you know, Espresso
Campus
House, these
Suite,
places. Yeah. These places are on it. And then I couldn't eat their food anymore because I regarded it as cheap and shitty.
Oh, you would pay full price for
it. So now I never pay from Starbucks, because I walk in, I look at it like, that's so, because it is, when you haven't paid much for it, you kind of look at the food for what it is. Mm-hmm. And I'd start looking at it like, this is a pretty shitty sandwich. Like, not just because it's old, just because it is, the quality of food is not so good, but because it's Starbucks or whatever, they've hyped it up as luxury food by making it so expensive.
I think so, also if you've just had it too frequently.
Yeah.
Then you get sick of it anyway.
I mean, but even that, I still use Too Good To Go every now and then, but the novelty wore off a little bit because it is dumb. It is kind of annoying sometimes because you have to like book it and then go to the place and the place may not be close to you. So
you need to have the time for it.
Yeah. It's kind of works well as a kind of student thing because they're less time poor often. They're more just like financially poor. So it works well.
Yeah.
So I still think it's a great idea, but yeah, I don't know. I had more work to do and stuff, so I didn't have the time to go to these places. But I found it funny how it messed with my conception of the value of this food. Because I'd get like a whole big bag. Like, I couldn't eat all the food. Like, I gave it to, like, often I would do this. Like, people on the street I saw, I would like give them the rest of the bag. Because it's like a whole giant bag of all the leftover sandwiches and stuff from Campus Suite.
But anyways, did we want to go to another song? What do you think?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, this is the Australian classic, When My Baby Smiles At Me, I Go To Rehab.
I'm one of them, it's good, that's what I've done. I'm baking in the dark, drinking whiskey in the park, underneath the blazing overlanding sun. But when my baby smiles at me, I go to rehab. When my baby smiles at me, I go to rehab. I'm always in the race to be thrust out of my face. Change, I know I should, I know I must. But I couldn't care less when I regain consciousness. And I'm standing upright naked on the bus. But when my baby smiles at me, I go to rehab. When my baby smiles at me, I go to rehab.
short and sweet, but yes. That was like a 2 minute long song, Clappy. Wow.
Yeah, I didn't really warn you about
that. Yeah, no.
Length.
Fun song. Anyways. So, we're going to do the second installment of our segment, Fake News with Susan. Pretty sure that's
Fake News and with Susan.
Fake News and with Susan. Oh my God, it's my own. Yeah, wow. Right. Thank you, Clappy. All right, so this is for people who did not tune in last month. Basically, I have, I think, 4 news stories here, and some of them are real, or you have to guess if they're real news or fake news. So, like, an Onion article or not the Onion article. They're all kind of, like, kooky, though.
And I don't know this week. Last month, I knew the answers.
But they could all be real, or they could all be fake. So,
yeah, all right.
Maybe I made some of these up. You're about to find out. Okay.
All right.
So, far-right German candidate, a mayoral candidate, promises to get rid of Arabic numerals.
Well, that's tough. True.
What do you think?
I have no idea.
Do you know what Arabic numerals
are? No, they're the same as English numerals.
Oh, it's like,
so
it's like the way that we write 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They're called Arabic numerals because they're invented...
Yeah,
I think it's made up because it sounds like a satire or a piece.
It's true.
Hey.
Oh my goodness,
it's true. Somebody was like, "Are you gonna? What are you gonna do about like all the you know?"
But isn't the English number system the number system we use based on Arabic number system?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. What are they gonna say, Mr. Best? I found it alarming that in Volklingen, how many house numbers are displayed in Arabic numerals? How would you like to take action against this creeping foreign infiltration? Deepati. That was like a politician from Deepati, and then they just...
But they're the joke party.
Yeah. But then like
the mayor.
The mayor candidate gave a serious answer.
Oh,
you just wait till I'm mayor. I will change that. There will be normal numbers.
Deepati is great.
I mean, the way that he asked that was just like, gotcha.
I saw, during the election campaign, I saw an election poster from Deepati, and it just said, no.
What?
No.
No.
Like, no.
No.
Oh, my God.
I feel this is lacking in other countries. We don't have this in Australia.
We have the Rhinoceros Party in Canada, which is very similar.
Okay.
Actually, it's amazing. There's a right-wing, like... very conservative anti-immigration party called the People's Party of Canada, which has sprung up, I think, maybe 5 or 10 years ago with its origins. And more people are starting to talk about them, which is, if you have my political leanings, concerning. But in any case, in the riding where the leader of that party was running for MP 2 elections ago, someone with the exact same name as him also ran in that same riding from the Rhinoceros Party in order to basically confuse voters and split the votes
that's
he
amazing.
Was getting. Yes.
That's hilarious.
Yes.
Did it work? Did it?
People voted for the fake one.
Oh my
God, yeah.
That's amazing. Oh, thank God. That's okay. That's like some chaotic good.
Yeah.
Okay. So next one. Corona outbreak in Hanover linked to shared cocaine straw.
Jeez, that could also be satire, but I don't know.
I don't believe it.
You don't believe it?
I'm on the fence. Some things are too ridiculous to
It's not true. I made that one up.
Okay.
I've heard of, like, people sharing, like, it being passed over from, like, a cigarette or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, no, that was that. No, that could be real. I feel like that has existed before.
I'm sure
yeah.
it's happened.
Yeah.
It would make, it's right in the nose
hilarious.
There, so.
I mean, you honestly, yeah. This is just, like, for harm reduction for everybody. Never, ever share a straw if you're doing anything up your nose. That's a great way to get hepatitis. Yes, just PSA here. Okay. So, you both kind of got that one. Zombie hunters stopped at Swedish border with car full of weapons.
It's
so extreme, it could be true again.
Yeah.
So, what is a zombie
hunter? I don't
hunter?
Believe it.
I'll say true.
It's true. This is from like the beginning of COVID, but yeah, German zombie hunters stopped at Swedish border in Hummer full of weapons.
They believe zombies exist?
Apparently they were role playing, but they had real weapons.
Okay.
Oh.
So they had like, what did they have? They had a crossbow, they had three firearms, tear gas. So and an armored vehicle that said zombie hunters or something, or in fact a zombie response team. And I guess they like searched the car and found all these weapons. They're like, we didn't know those were there, and it's illegal to bring weapons into Sweden. And I don't know what the hell they were trying to do, but maybe they were trying to role play with real weapons.
Huh. Well, Alec Baldwin should teach people a lesson.
I was going to make an idea. Alec Baldwin joke.
Yeah. No.
I shot first. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Too soon.
Yeah. So, Vienna Art Museum starts an OnlyFans after sexually explicit art gets taken off of Instagram.
I believe it.
False.
It's true. This wow. Vienna Art Museum had like this, Egon Schiele, this nude picture of a woman that got taken off of Instagram or flagged. And so in response, yeah, they started an OnlyFans with their art. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah. Women's bodies are inappropriate.
Yeah, this is like a huge thing. Ridiculous. Where like there's like some artists who will have like not nude photos, but like nude like images of women, and like the algorithm will pick them up, and like, or you know, even like penises or something, and like take it off, and it's just. Or, like, the whole thing with Tumblr of, like, not allowing, quote-unquote, female-presenting nipples. You know, like, you could show, like, male nipples, but, like...
Well, yeah, I love this trend that we saw a couple of years ago where women would take a topless photo and then Photoshop male nipples over their real nipples.
Yeah.
And post that.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. But, no, unfortunately, that's real. And I think that they just started that OnlyFans as, like... you know, a statement that was like, so thank you so much, Mal, for being on.
Thank you for having
really
me.
Good conversation.
Yeah, thank you, Mal. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Clappy, for still being here and also being my co-host.
I'm just the technical.
Yeah.
Technical person.
Anyways, okay, so see y'all next month. Have a good rest of your October.
It's been a day for me. Yeah. Hey, I remember syrup sandwiches and crime allowances. Vanessa nigga with some counterfeits, but now I'm counting this Parmesan with my.